Welcome to the National Retiree Legislative Network video podcast produced by and for American retirees and those over age 50. I'm Bill Catterite, president of the NRLN and your podcast host. Since 2002, the NRLN has been a 501c4 organization lobbying and serving retirees who have retired from over 400 U.S. companies. Our advocacy work is supported by our American Retiree Education Foundation, the AREF, a 501c3 charitable research organization. It researches income security and healthcare issues and federal statutes. The AREF works with the NRLN to prepare white papers and videos and podcasts shared with members of Congress, plus through our nationwide grassroots network and the public. You can see our videos, podcasts 1 through 7, about Medicare privatization and Medicare 2020 enrollment at www.nrln.org. Click the colored videos and podcast icon on our homepage, then select an episode. On this podcast number 8, I'll be talking with Ed Beltram, Vice President of the NRLN Communications, and a member of the AREF research team and board member of AREF also. Ed has researched and written the NRLN white paper, Congress and the President Must Act to Reduce Prescription Drugs. Talk is cheap. Drugs are not. Welcome, Ed.
Bill, thank you for inviting me to share the information on your podcast about the need to reduce the price of prescription drugs.
Ed, Americans know that they're paying more for their prescription drugs than they should, but you have some latest information on the price increases for prescription drugs. Would you mind sharing that with folks?
Sure. Members of Congress have talked a lot about reducing the price of prescription drugs, but little has been done to lower the out-of-pocket cost. The latest data available shows that through July 2020, pharmaceutical companies had increased prices on more than 800 drugs. On average, the increase was about 5%. And, you know, that's more than twice the level of the inflation rate in the U.S. Drug prices have been increased by 33% since 2014.
Well, Ed, how much of that is being spent specifically in America on prescription drugs?
Well, the spending for prescription drugs in the U.S. in 2019, that's the latest figures that's available, was a whopping $509 billion. You know, per capita, prescription drug spending was about $1,200. Per American. This exceeds the per capita spending in any other country. U.S. drug prices are nearly four times higher than other economically developed countries. In 2017, and that's the latest information that's available because the Medicare has not put on its spending dashboard for 2018. It hasn't been updated. But in 2017, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, the total gross spending on prescription drugs for Medicare and Medicaid was $252.9 billion. That's billion with a B. This includes $154.9 billion in Medicare Part D, that's the prescription drug plan, and $30.4 billion for Medicare Part B. That's the drugs that are provided in the clinics and hospitals, and $67.6 billion has been spent for drugs by Medicaid.
Well, so that's a sizable amount of money. In fact, it's a terrible amount of money when you consider that per capita of $1,200 per person in this country. So what's the impact of the price increases for these drugs on seniors specifically?
The 64 million Americans on Medicare are caught in a terrible perfect storm of prescription drug price increases. You know, they are taking more expensive medications while living on a fixed income. Yeah. Far too often, seniors must decide between taking their medicines or purchasing food or paying for housing.
How much of this increase, Ed, is really associated directly with the brand name drug pricing we've all been hearing about and the price gouging issue?
Well, brand name drug prices for many of the most prescribed drugs has doubled between 2008 and 2019. The high cost of brand name prescription drugs in the U.S. can be blamed primarily on price increases, not expensive new medicines or improvements in existing medications. For example, when the cancer drug Remitid 22 was introduced back in 2005, the price was $4,515 for a month's supply. Today, that price has increased to $16,023. You know, that's a whopping increase.
Whoa. Yeah, that's almost unaffordable. So what is the situation with generic drugs? I mean, they're a lot cheaper, I know, than brand name drugs, but how big are they in the marketplace?
Well, generic drugs represent over 90% of all prescriptions filled. They have been one of the few prescription drug bargains for Americans. However, we are seeing increases in prices for many generic drugs. Some of these generic drugs that have been around for a long time are also having their prices go up. A Senate committee reported that the prices of 14 generic drugs had increased by 20 to 85%. Often, brand name drug companies are acquiring generic drug makers, and then they immediately increase the price of the generic drugs. Also, there have been antitrust lawsuits brought against a number of generic drug companies for alleged price fixing.
And there are other gimmicks, I know, and other things that these drug companies do, Ed, but one of them that I thought was terrible I heard about was this pay-for-delay thing where the drug companies actually buy off other companies from entering the market. Can you tell us more about that and how the NLRB has lobbied against this?
Well, pay-for-delay is where a brand drug manufacturer pays millions of dollars to a generic drug company to keep their drugs off the market for a few years. This should be illegal. There was a lawsuit against pay-for-delay that went all the way to the Supreme Court. The justices ruled against pay-for-delay. However, they left the door open because they said the ruling applied only to that particular case. The NLN is lobbying to make pay-for-delay illegal without exceptions. There are two bills in Congress to end pay-for-delay. The NLN has lobbied for either bill to be passed to reduce the price of generic drugs.
I get it. I mean, that sounds like it would be illegal all the way. You know, these price increases are also showing up in over-the-counter medicines. My wife takes Allegra, for example, for allergies. I stopped at the store, caught a half-price sale of 180 tablets for $37, but then I thought, wow, you know, one a day, that's $75 a year. Now, I can afford it, many others can, and you think not as a big deal, but for many on fixed budgets, it's a heavier load than we might think. So can you share with us what the NLN's been doing to try to reduce these costs of the cost of these prescription drugs?
Well, current law bars Medicare from negotiating the price of prescription drugs. Since 2009, the NLN has been lobbying for legislation to remove the prohibition. Rather than negotiating to lower the price of prescription drugs, we believe Medicare should use the business model of competitive bidding. Anyone who's been in business knows that you need to have competitive bidding for the products or the components that you're going to put into your product. So there should be a competitive bidding model for Medicare to use. The NLN supports passage of either one of two bills in Congress that would direct HHS Secretary to negotiate lower Medicare Part D prices.
Now, the hot topic, though, Ed, I think what I've heard about recently is this issue of importation of prescription drugs, particularly from Canada. Can you share something there?
Yep. The NLRN was the first retirement advocacy organization to lobby for legislation to allow importation of prescription drugs that are safe and less expensive from Canada and even other countries that meet the FDA safety standards. The NLN supports passage of a bill in Congress that would allow personal importation of safe and lower priced prescription drugs from approved pharmacies in Canada.
Yeah, I guess that's been a couple, 3 weeks ago now that I read where the president issued executive orders, and it's been discussed for some time that he would do this. Now, all of a sudden, he's issued these orders aimed at reducing the price of prescription drugs. Can you kind of give us a thumbnail of just the key points and what his executive orders were all about?
Well, back on July 24th of 2020, President Trump signed an executive order that would allow pre-authorized U.S. wholesalers and pharmacies to purchase safe and lower-priced prescription drugs from Canada. HHS and the FDA on September 24th finalized the rules for the FDA to consider proposals to re-import drugs from Canada that meet FDA safety standards.
Okay. How about the other parts of the executive order? What are those about?
Well, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid was ordered to take action to ensure that Medicare and seniors pay no more for 50 Medicare Part B drugs than the price in any other economically comparable country. This most favored nation pricing rule begins January 1st, 2021. On December 4th, two pharmaceutical industry trade groups filed lawsuits in federal court challenging the most favored nation pricing rule. So we'll have to see how that comes out.
Well, maybe I missed the details, but wasn't there also an executive order, piece of that executive order about kickbacks that these drug companies get or these price benefit managers, I guess it is, are involved with?
Yes, the executive order directed the ending of the kickbacks to the middlemen. Mainly, they're called price benefit managers or PBMs. Seniors are to directly receive these discounts in Medicare Part D. I should note another administration action that wasn't in an executive order. During the recent Medicare and Medicare Advantage enrollment period, seniors with diabetes had the option of selecting a Medicare Part D plan that provides access to insulins at a maximum $35 copay for a month's supply. This is the result of agreements the administration negotiated with insulin manufacturers and major health insurance companies.
What can you tell us about the House of Representatives? We know we have a new Congress coming up, a new president and all, and what things are exciting, but there's been some work done there in the House in the past, and it'll be challenged in the future, I'm sure. But can you review what the House of Representatives has done in support of reducing the price of prescription drugs?
Yes, the House did take some action back on December 12, 2019. The House passed along party lines and sent to the Senate H.R. 3, the Elijah E. Cummings Lower Drug Cost Now Act. The bill title honors Representative Cummings, who died on October 17, 2019. Among the elements of H.R. 3 are capping Medicare recipients' out-of-pocket cost for medications at $2,000 a year. Medicare would be authorized to negotiate prices for 250 commonly used costly medications. And this is something that the NLN has supported for a long time. Drug makers that refuse to negotiate would be hit with a steep sales tax for the medications. The bill would also require pharmaceutical manufacturers to pay rebates to Medicare if the price of their drug increase faster than inflation. And you will recall earlier I mentioned that inflation is the drug costs are about twice, prices are increasing about twice as fast as inflation in the country. U.S. prices for drugs would be tied to a benchmark index of prices in other developed countries. This is similar to what President Trump had in his executive order. Private health care insurance plans would be able to receive Medicare discount prices. So that means that people that are not yet Medicare eligible would be able to receive these discounted prices. It also makes it easier for seniors to enroll in Medicare supplement, which is called Medigap insurance, or to switch from Medicare Advantage to traditional Medicare. The Congressional Budget Office, that's the independent group that reports to Congress, estimates that the price negotiation provisions in H.R. 3 would save $456 billion, again, that's billion with a B, over 10 years. And the House bill stipulates that $360 billion of the projected savings would be used by Medicare for dental, hearing, and vision coverage. Now, traditional Medicare doesn't cover these things. There are some Medicare Advantage plans that covers some of these extra things, but it would be great to have these things also covered for the people in traditional Medicare.
Well, I'll say, you would think they would do both of all the people in Medicare instead of just the Medicare Advantage people. So on the Senate side, Ed, what's been done there and how important is that to retirees?
Well, the major Senate bill is S-4199, Prescription Drug Pricing Reduction Act of 2020, was introduced in the Senate Committee on Finance on July 2nd. A bill with the same title but numbered S-2543 was passed out of the Senate Finance Committee on September 25th, 2019 on a bipartisan vote. However, later disagreement along party lines in the Finance Committee caused S-2543 to be abandoned, and S-4199 was introduced. But the Senate Finance Committee has not voted on S-4199. Among the key elements of S-4199 are: limit out-of-pocket medication costs for seniors to $3,100 starting in 2022. That's $3,100 a year. Limit price hikes in Medicare to the rate of inflation. Direct insurers to offer a cap on the amount of out-of-pocket costs that the beneficiaries have to pay in a single month. The Congressional Budget Office projects that the bill would save $95 billion over the next decade, reduced out-of-pocket spending by $72 billion, and reduced premiums by $1 billion. Unfortunately, S-4199 doesn't allow Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices, and this is something that the NLRN has lobbied for, and we believe should be in any bill.
Yeah, and I guess since we only have a few days left this year, there's probably not much chance of getting much done in drug legislation, but maybe you can give us an update as to what's happening, like, as of right now.
Well, since only a few more days remain in this 116th Congress, it's highly unlikely that any bills to reduce the price of prescription drugs will be enacted. The NLRN will request the two major prescription drug bills be reintroduced in the House and the Senate early in the 117th Congress. The NLRN will lobby for the passage of both bills. If that happens, the two bills would go to a conference committee. We hope this will result in a compromise bill that both the House and Senate will pass and the new president will sign into law. All of us should be very interested in whether legislation to reduce the price of prescription drugs will be enacted. If no legislation is enacted, the powerful pharmaceutical lobby in Washington, D.C. wins once again.
Yeah, we sure don't want that to happen. They have too much power and too much money that influences what Congress does these days. You've covered some of the details, but I know this white paper is just chock-a-block full with good information that people would be interested in. Where can our listeners read the NRLN's white paper on prescription drug prices? Can you direct them to the website, for example?
Yeah, they should go to the NLRN website at www.nrln.org. And once they're on the homepage, click on the black legislative agenda tab. When the drop-down menu appears, click on NLRN white papers. And then on the white papers webpage, scroll down and click the link to reduce price of prescription drugs.
Well, Ed, I want to thank you for sharing your insights on prescription drug issues. And to you listeners, it's people like Ed Beltram and hundreds of others in our American Retiree Education Foundation and NRLN grassroots organizations across America who work hard and volunteer hundreds of hours a year supporting you. So I hope you appreciate that. Go to NRLN.org and check us out. I want to remind our podcast listeners that the NRLN is your source for the truth about retirement issues crucial to your future and the well-being and financial well-being of your children, grandchildren, and our country, which is really what this policy-making or legislation is all about. It's doing the right thing for our country. Stay current with news that affects you through our emails and our website at NRLN.org. There you will find links also to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can go to our website, again, at NRLN.org, and click the NRLN video podcast artwork. It's below the action alert section in the middle of our homepage to access our videos and podcasts and sign up to send our action alerts when needed and support us financially if you can. On the NRLN taskbar also, you can click Contact Us, the Contact Us tab, and select Contact the NRLN, where you can send an email or call us toll-free at 1-866-360-7197. That's 866-360-7197. Ask your questions, offer suggestions, or new topics that you'd like to hear about, and sign up to get our NRLN messages and action alerts, and advance information about future podcasts and videos. So until next time, stay safe out there and enjoy your life. Seniors are special.